any other organization. Those trained volunteers are ready and on the ground and meeting needs. Right now, we need your prayers, but I would also like to ask every Southern Baptist and every church to donate to our disaster relief efforts. You can do that by visiting NAM.net and clicking on our Tornado and Flood Relief Fund. It's good to know in times like this, Southern Baptists are ready and willing to respond by meeting physical needs, but also ready to share a word that will meet ultimate spiritual needs. Thank you for your prayers and your generosity.
All right, so if you guys have an opportunity and to visit, I said .org, I apologize, it's .net, NAMB.net to donate. Or if you'd like, in the offering today, just go ahead and throw an extra check or designate some money for them. We can take that also and make sure it gets down to them. All right, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and join us. And in the meantime, can I have everybody stand up, please? Look to your neighbor and say, I am glad you are here with me today. All right, so let's take a few minutes to greet everybody around while they get set up here, and we'll get things kicked off. Thank you, sir. Morning. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, good to see you. Good morning. I'm Mark.
Teresa.
Nice.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Trust everybody had a good week this week, and praise the Lord that we could be here this morning to worship together. And let's just open with a word of prayer and just kind of set our hearts for this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you provided a Savior in your Son, Jesus, to open a way for us to be with you in eternity, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here today, that we could give glory and praise to you. And Lord, we thank you that worship isn't just about Sunday. And Lord, that we can come to you anytime, anywhere, any place, Lord, and offer our praises to you, to seek guidance and seek solace in you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would help us this morning to detach from the world, that we might be able to open our hearts and minds to you. And Lord, that you would give us your word for today. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before you in worship. And we give it all back to you, Lord. Through your Son we all pray. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, where there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, Lord. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen. Why don't you go ahead and be seated for a moment. Amen. I'd like to read a scripture verse for you. This is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Amen for that. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And I know in my own life, I'm always like focusing on my sin. And that is sin. Jesus has freed me from that sin. But Satan has a way of always bringing that up in my life and reminding me of my past mistakes. I'd like to read this for you. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes with me. Well, I'm not going to close my eyes because I'm going to be reading. But close your eyes. I want to read this for you. And let's just meditate on this for a moment. I got this out of a Maranatha Worship Bible, and I just thought it was really powerful and really spoke to this point. And this is written in the form of a prayer, so let's pray. Father God, you are not content for me to live in your household as a slave, but yearned instead to love me as your child. So you sent your Son Jesus from the heights of heaven down to the depths of the earth. You allowed him to lower himself to the position of a slave so that I might be lifted to the position of a child. You removed me from the yoke of slavery and lifted me instead with the spirit of adoption by which I may cry out to you, Abba, Father, just as Jesus did. Oh, Father, how good you are to me. Lord, I remember the days before I knew you, I was bound by chains of loneliness and fear. But you broke those chains and released me into the joy of your freedom. So what insanity would cause me to turn back to the days of slavery? Why would I scoop up the broken chains and try to shackle myself again? Forgive me, Lord, when I find myself looking back. Help me to forget what lies behind and to press on toward the incredible prize of knowing you and living with you forever. Amen. And this is a beautiful picture of Christ's love, isn't it? Let's turn that love back to him and give worship to him for that. Let's stand.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. beauty that made his heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Thou never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that.
Lift it up, church.
And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand, for forever, I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have with you. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen. Why don't you go ahead and be seated.
All righty. Thank you very much, Randy, Beth, Nakia. Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. So good morning again, everybody. I want to start off by telling a story about my grandfather, who, when I was 16 years old, my grandfather took his own life and didn't really understand what was going on, and there was a lot of pain in our life at that time. And a few years later, when my grandmother was becoming older and much more sick, we started cleaning out the house. And him and her had separate bedrooms. Nobody really knew it was his, in his room. Nobody ever went in there. And what we found in his room was a little box up in the top corner of his closet, and it just said Precious Jewels. It was buried under a bunch of old papers from his business. It was a poor man. He grew up working on the canal boats and just delivering coal his whole life through the hills of Pennsylvania. And we pulled it down, and we're like, all right, well, maybe there's something of value in here. Fabulous. This will be great. We can actually get something out of this and maybe lower the price of the house and just get rid of that too. But when we opened it up, what we ended up finding was inside this box were pictures of my mother graduating from nursing school, pictures of my aunt's wedding, pictures of my cousins, Brian and Colleen, being born, and my other cousin, Gillette. It was him holding my sister And these are what he considered his, you know, special treasures. And that to us kind of let us realize that although we don't always feel how much he loved us, you know, he did. And the same goes for God. You know, in Malachi 3:17, God says, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my most treasured possessions, and I will spare them as a man who spares his son that serves him." God loves us. I think there is no doubt about it that God loves us. And the question then becomes, how can we show him love back? And the way that we do that is through worship. We can show him how much we love him, how glorious he is to us and in our lives, how much we love him back. But then the question begs to be asked, what type of worship does God desire? And I think it's laid out for us very well when you look at John 4:23-24. So if you turn with me today, that's the passage that we're actually going to be teaching out of. It's kind of our base passage for today. So what it says here, this is the story of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. And, you know, they were just walking through town, and he stopped, and the disciples went on ahead into town, and she came out to get some water from Jacob's well. So he's just standing there, and he's talking with her about worship, and they have a conversation. And what Jesus says here is, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." It doesn't get much more clear than that, does it? He's telling you exactly what God wants. And the next verse, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." So let's just take a second and pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand in front of this church today. May I just be a voice for you, Lord. May this message just come upon open hearts, and may everybody be receptive of your word today and be able to put this into action as they're walking out the doors. Amen. All right. So the first thing we're going to look at is the Hebrew word for worship. And that's your first fill-in. The first word is shaka. Those of you George Bush fans, we're not talking about shaka and awe. It's shaka. And that's worship. So the worship there is bowing down or humbling yourself before the Lord. Okay. So that's when you come into the Lord's presence, you must worship him in spirit and in truth, but also humbly. So that's what we're going to talk about, in the spirit and truth, and how do we go before the Lord when we worship. So the first thing we're going to talk about is worshiping in the spirit. So that's point number two, worship in the spirit. And the first thing we're going to talk is understanding. So when you worship in the spirit, you need to be able to understand how you're worshiping God. Now, last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we talked about was speaking in tongues. And I explained how tongues is used at that point. But there's also another form of tongues. There's praying in tongues. It's praying in the voice of the angels and praying to God in the language of the angels. And it's laid out in the Bible, and we're going to talk about that. But it's important that you remember that not only should you worship in this language of the angels, but you should also understand what you're saying. So your worship should both be in the language of the angels and in English. For those of you here that speak English, I think we've pretty much got everybody covered. But you need to understand what you're worshiping. So to start with, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:15. "Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret it. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Something that's not talked about a lot in our church or in a lot of churches like ours is this personal prayer language. And it comes through worship. It begins to grow through worship, but you also need to exercise it in order for it to grow. If I was to stand up here and speak in tongues, all of you would sit there and look at me and say, fabulous service, and walk out of here going, I don't know what that guy just said. So what Paul's talking about here is worshiping to God in the tongues. And I'm not going to go very much into this because it's a whole 3-week service on tongues that I could do. But if you do pray in a personal prayer language, and I just want to make sure that everybody understands, if you ever hear me do it, if you ever hear somebody else do it, it's not something to be scared of. All right? Because if we do it correctly, you're going to hear us pray in English as well. But there's another part of the understanding. It's when you come forth and worship, are you actually worshiping? For instance, when we sang these songs, shout to the Lord with all your heart, are you sitting there going, IGA, sheets for gas, bank account tonight, maybe go do something else? Is your mind truly on worship? Are you understanding the words that you are saying to God? Are you listening and saying, God, yes, you are worth my time this morning in this congregation, and I am going to sit here and listen to the words I am saying to you and believe them? That's a big part of the understanding, is just being present and when you are worshiping God. I'll be honest. There are times where I'll stand here and I'm not totally into it. And at the end of the songs, after we sing the 3 or 4 songs that we sing in the morning, I still feel horrible. But there are other times when I come and I am truly present and I know what I am saying, and I am saying it to God, that I feel wonderful. So what I'm saying is that when you worship God, worship with the understanding that you are truly worshiping the God of this universe, the God that created us all. And just be present at that time and understand those words that you're saying. So the second part that we're going to talk about is coming before God with reverence. And what you'll see is, as I go through this study, it's not just New Testament worshiping Jesus and God. It's throughout the Bible and throughout time that man has been given instructions on how to worship God correctly. So the first thing I'm going to talk about real quick is Psalms 89:7. A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. Folks, that is who we are worshiping. But how often do we walk into his presence like he is the person taking your order at McDonald's, and you walk in and you say, God, I would like this person be healed, this person be healed, that person, and a side of fries. All right, see you later, God. We don't take the time to recognize that we are coming before God, who is almighty and all-powerful, and we need to prepare ourselves before we enter into his presence. So, as we begin to enter his presence, in Ecclesiastes 5, Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are doing, or that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So when you go to worship God, how often do we just barge in that door and say, all right, God, I'm here. Give me your attention right now. And don't take that time before God just to be in awe of who you are worshiping. There has to be a certain amount of reverence for God when you step in front of Him, for Him to accept your worship, for Him to enjoy your worship, for Him to take that pleasure that we want Him to take in our worship and truly, truly enjoy us as His treasure. So when you enter before God, you know, next time you're either going into prayer or you're just going in to listen, take a conscious step and clear your mind of all those items. So when we sing songs at the end of the service here, maybe you take a second and say, Lord, just take them all off my mind and let me focus on You. And quietly come into our worship for the last song that we sing. And see if that one song doesn't make that much of a difference when you are truly praising God than the first three that you sang when maybe you weren't focused on that. It makes an incredible difference, and you get blessed as much as God gets blessed in those situations. The third item that we have is worship needs to be sincere. Again, coming in here and thinking about everything else, being like, all right, I'm going to sing the songs that Randy plays or that Darren plays. He played that one too slow. Oh, well, I'll sing it anyway. It's not exactly sincere when we're worshiping God. The same songs that we sang today could have been sang twice as fast, and we could have been clapping and had a set of drums up here. Maybe someday we will get a set of drums back up here. But we could have had a set of drums up here and played those twice as fast, and everybody would have been like, woo, we loved it. It was great. And it would still be worship. But it has to be sincere. So what we look at in Matthew 15, 8, and 9, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So we come in and we don't truly listen to the Word of God. We don't read the Word of God, or we think, oh, well, the standard service type that we have here is you always have three songs, and then you preach for 40 minutes, and then we sing a song, and then we do the offering, and then we pray, and then we sing a song, and that's the way it has to be. There's nothing that says that that's the way it has to be. We could go an entire week without music. We could go a week without a sermon. We could sit here and just pray like we have in the past for the entire hour and 10 minutes. And it would all be for naught if it was not sincere. If we truly didn't come before God with a sincere heart and worship Him. So when you worship in spirit, there really are these three items, right? We have, you come before God with the understanding in your soul that you're worshiping the one true God. We recognize that He is all powerful, and we must come before Him with reverence, and we must be sincere at heart when we talk to God. So I challenge you this week in your personal prayer time that you do come slowly into God's presence. That you take the time and clear your mind of everything else that you're talking about when you come before Him. And that it's sincere. It really means what you're saying when you say, Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for everything You have given us. And you know, the amazing thing is when you're sincere and you come before God with these three items in your spirit and your soul and you understand it, it is possible to walk away from prayer with just tears streaming down your eyes. Because you have been just as blessed as God has by your worship. And the Spirit will work inside you when you're worshiping God in that way. So we worship God in spirit and in truth. So how do we worship God in truth? The first way of doing it is through teaching. And when I say teaching, I'm not saying stand up here in front of everybody and take a Sunday so that Darren can sit down and just enjoy being in the service. Teaching is working with your wife and your husband and telling them what you found in the Bible. It's finding a new believer and working through the Bible with them and explaining what the Bible means. It's being in and part of and or leading a small group and teaching other people what you're learning. When the disciples got together in the Acts, in the book of Acts, they taught to each other all the time. If we look at Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, we were gathered together to break bread, and Paul talked with them. Now, the second part of this verse, I want y'all to be prepared for. All right? Intending to depart the next day, he prolonged his speech until midnight. Amen. So we might be calling Little Caesars here. I'm just kidding. I'll still have a sound on top. But it's important to know that when they got together, the disciples still taught each other. But this is at the same time that they're going out and they're setting up new churches. It's at the same time they're going out and they're meeting with small groups of people. It's at the same time that they are teaching unbelievers and Jews and Gentiles all about Jesus Christ. But they spent their time teaching. And what were they teaching? They were teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were taking that good news to the people and teaching them the word. So, it goes back to the previous verse. We're not teaching the doctrines and commandments of men, but we are teaching the true word of God. The second way that we worship in truth is in prayer. So we have 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and for presidents and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. If you go on to read 1 Timothy 1, 2, 3, he goes on to say that this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of our Savior. So, prayer for everyone is pleasing in the sight of our Savior. So it's important that when you worship, a form of worshiping God is praying. In our church, we have a prayer team. And this team has a hotline that they call the next person in line. And they pass it on down the line till they have everybody on that prayer chain praying. Everybody on that prayer chain praying for what you might have. If you turn your bulletins to the front page, look at the very front in the top right corner. You know what else you have? You have a list of people in this church that are leaders, that are willing to pray for you. Because praying for you is a way that we can worship God. Now, I'll throw it out there. Beth is on that page there with us. Her phone number's there. If you ever need anything, give her a call. If you ever need anything from Darren, Tom, Steve, Russ, or myself, please feel free to pick up that phone and call that we may help to serve you by worshiping God in prayer for you. It's what we're here for. And I think it's important that we all remember that piece because I think sometimes we forget that. Because I'll be honest with you, since my name's been on there, I haven't received a call. Tom's been on there for about 2 years and very rarely receives calls. It's important that you remember that we're here for you, for prayer, so that we can do our part in worshiping God. So please remember that. Now it comes back to your own personal prayer life. How often are we taking that first part of our day, that best part when we're, well, how about we take the best part when we're most awake? Because I can't say for everybody here that that first part of the day is it. I know for me, I'm just about dragging my butt out of bed, getting in the shower, and grabbing two little girls and running to daycare. So it's kind of tough. But my time, my personal time, when I personally am at the best, is towards the end of the day. I'm usually up later at night. It's when I do my Bible studies. It's when I read my Bible. It's when I pray. So find that time that's right for you, the best time of your day, and give that over to God. When you're most alert, when you can come into His presence, and when you're praying and not fall asleep. That's a big part of it, right? Because there's often times where we'll sit there and we will listen to God and we'll be like, God, I want to hear what you're saying, and then go to sleep. And I only say that from experience, so don't think I'm convicting anybody in here. There are times where, yes, I am so tired and I try and I'm like, God, I really want to hear you, but I don't. And then you know what happens is I miss the blessing in that. So I urge you to find that best time of your day and do your prayer time at that time. The last one I'm going to talk about in truth is singing. Anybody here a fan of Toby Mac? Right? I love Toby Mac. I will turn that up on my radio to the point where I get yelled at by Gretchen. Gretchen does not believe that what Toby Mac sings is considered worship. And I have to argue that I believe it is. I said, just because you might not understand it doesn't mean it's not worship. But it goes back to the whole worship and understanding, and she should focus on the songs that she appreciates, and I'll focus on the ones I do. That's why we drive separate cars. So, when singing is this awesome form of worship to God. We know that in Revelation, when we are all taken up, we are going to be in the throne room and we are going to be worshiping God through prayer, through song. We're going to be there just in His glory. So, how often during the week do you ever take time and just sing songs of praise? Oftentimes we focus on prayer, we focus on Bible study, but we don't usually focus on just singing a song of praise. So what we do is we turn here to James 5:13, and it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So Jesus is saying, it's okay, come to me and talk to me about your pain. I want to hear it. But then there's part two, and we need to remember this. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. So we need to take that time throughout our week to not only glorify God and pray to Him through prayer, but focus on singing and just flat out glorifying God as He's there for us. I think it's very important that we keep that in mind. When's the last time on a Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon you just started singing? Now, people at work are going to think you're a little bit weird, but that's okay. It's okay to be weird. Just ask Craig Rochelle. He wrote a whole book on being weird. By the way, if you have a chance to read it, it's actually a really awesome book. He's not paying me for this advertisement, but I'm going to throw it out there. The book's called Weird. But it's okay to let people think you're a little weird. It's fine. Because that means you're not normal. And if normal out there in the world today is pretending to love Jesus, is being broke and being divorced, if you looked at the statistics, then I prefer to be weird. Amen? All right, now another question that comes to mind is, okay, Mark, so we want to worship God in spirit and in truth, but what position should I worship in? Right? And there's a lot of different positions that you can actually worship in, and all of them are in the Bible, and all of them are right. So there's not a wrong position to worship God in. So we're actually going to fly through these real fast. Get your pens ready. First one is sitting. It's okay to sit there and to pray. It's okay to sit there and sing. And that's in Acts. In 2 Chronicles, kneel. before God. It's okay to turn around while we're worshiping during our singing if you want it to, and kneel down in God's presence to worship. It's okay to kneel while you're praying. That's all fine. Third one is standing. We frequently do that here, but when at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, have you ever stood up to start singing? Again, they're going to think you're weird, but it's all right. You know, maybe you take a break from work and you go out and you walk around the building and you just sing a song. Just sing a song of praise. It's your opportunity there. You're standing up and you're worshiping God. Lying prostrate on the ground, just flat out laying on your stomach in front of Him. And just praying and being in God's presence and truly bringing forth that shakah. Just humbling yourself flat on the ground before Christ and before God. Bowing of heads. You can praise the Lord with your head held high. You can praise your head, praise the Lord with your head bowed. It's all good. And lifting of hands. Praising the Lord by lifting your hands in worship to the Lord. You know, sometimes people will just go like this and will worship the Lord with their hands down here. But you have to think, worship big, get blessed big. Amen? With your hands down here, you're worshiping very small. But when you put your hands up here, you are opening yourself up and you are giving it all over to God. And there's two ways when your hands are up in the air that you can hold your hands. You can hold them like this, where you are giving praise to God. And when God is pouring His blessing out to Him, turn your hands this way and be a funnel and just catch those blessings as they come down, so that they just come down and fill your soul. Amen. So be cognizant of that. As you are praising God and worshiping and lifting your hands, look at your hand positions and think about it and say, am I truly giving everything to God? Or am I just kind of holding back a little bit, saying, okay, you're a little bit good there, God. Something to think about while you're worshiping. And the very last line on here is where to worship. In John 4 that we started with today, if you go just a few verses before it, John 4, 20 and 22. The woman said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain right here. But you say, when she says you, she's talking to Jesus, but she's referring to the Jews. You say that in Jerusalem is where people ought to worship. And Jesus says to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem is where you will worship. You worship what you do not know, but we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So what is Jesus saying here? Right now, the Samaritans worship on that mountain to a God that is not God. They worship Him over here, and they're just wrong in both. The Jews worship the correct God, but they're leaving their worship in the temple in Jerusalem. What Jesus is saying here to us is that worship does not need to be in a temple. It does not need to be in Manchester West. It does not need to be in a church downtown in Painesville with a huge old steeple. Because worship comes from within you. And wherever you are, you have the opportunity to worship Jesus. So your last fill-in is where to worship? Anywhere. I don't care where you are. You could be in the car. You could be at the soccer field with the kids. You could be at a football game watching your daughter's cheerlead. I don't care where you are. You can still be worshiping God. So, are we? I put that challenge out to you. Are we leaving worship for here in the building? and only focusing on it here? Or are we truly worshiping God wherever we are, in whatever position we're in, and in a way that is in spirit and in truth? You could take that away today. That is your takeaway to work on this week. Your challenge is to go and worship God and find inside you that spirit and that true form of worship for Him that's pleasing. All right, I'm going to ask the praise team. If you guys come up, we'll have them start getting set up here. Folks, like I did last week, I'm going to do it again this week. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to take the opportunity to come up and pray. I'm going to ask Steve, would you be able to come up and join us? Tom, if you're okay, you can come up. I'll be up here. If you don't know Jesus, come up and see us. If you just need prayer in general, it says, Lord Jesus, I need your help today. I need to worship the Father better. Come up and we will pray with you. We're not afraid to do that, and I hope you're not afraid to take that step forward. All right, so I'll turn it over to Randy here. And
hey, man, you can go ahead and stay seated.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will sing, how great, how great is our God. And age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, and Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will sing, how great is our God.
Let's stand together, let's lift it up.
How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing, how great is our God.
His name above all names. Let's sing it out, church.
Name above all names.
Lord, you're worthy.
Worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, name above all names, Lord, you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing, how great is our God. Amen.
Real quick, we just going to say a very quick word for the offering, have the girls come around, and we're going to sing one last song and be dismissed. Jimmy, could I have you go ahead and just say a prayer for the offering for us, please?
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your teaching and your word. Thank you, Lord, for not just the opportunity to give, Lord, but to take a moment to just thank you for what you blessed us with, Lord. Everything, our health, our safety, finances, Lord. Lord, it's not a time we just rush through this, Lord, but it's a time that we can stop and say thank you. We want to give back our tithe to you as you have so blessed us, Lord. Lord, may you use it for your glory and honor, because it's you that we do serve and we do love. And take this, Lord, and multiply it to do all the work that you need to do here in our community, the work you need to do around the state of Ohio, and especially for those, Lord, down south right now. Whatever you choose to do with it, we're going to praise you for it, because we give it because we know you're a faithful God. You'll multiply through all that you need. Love you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. We're going to have our girls here come around. We're going to sing one last song and then be dismissed. So everybody have a wonderful week. And please, please, please practice worshiping Spirit and Truth this week. We'll see how you are blessed coming back from it. Amen.
Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Let's sing of his love forever in good times and in bad times. Sometimes it's hard to sing praises in the bad times, but he expects our praise in all things. Let's worship him now.
Over the mountains and the seas, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down, yeah. I can sing of your love forever. 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 Oh yeah. Oh. Over the mountains and the seas, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. Yeah. I can sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Oh, I feel like singing, to sing unto the Lord. But when the world has seen the light, they will sing with joy like we're singing now. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
God bless people. Have a blessed week.